Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
And good day to you, my friends. From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, assembling information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Wall Street reform is now law. Women are being grabbed on the rear near the Nike campus. And a man is accused of bashing ATMs with an axe.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and intellectual screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when this hour began. And now, without further ado, because Dawn is in no way distracted by the fact that a document she hit print on 3 minutes ago has not yet ejected itself from the machine, I give you Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Wednesday, July 21st, 2010. Wall Street reform is now law. President Obama signed a bill today being called the most sweeping overhaul of the nation's financial system since the Great Depression. President Obama says this isn't aimed at honest bankers.
Wait, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. One moment.
Am I hitting you too quick here?
Yes. No. That's it's a whole thing that happened over here. I was just beginning the program, and then the machine on which I play these sound cuts went, as my mother would say, skiwampus. Which isn't really a word that means anything, but everybody sort of understands what the implication is. What is the name of this cut?
Corners.
All right. Okay, let's see what the odds are that that's going to play.
And unless your business model depends on cutting corners or bilking your customers, you've got nothing to fear from reform.
Well, damn it. Damn it all to hell, and I'm screwed. Completely screwed. Let's just
all... Bilking customers and cutting corners is the American way.
It really is. I have to say that I was watching a little bit of this coverage last night, and they were just sort of, they were kind of recapping all of the reform, and they kept going out of their way to use phrases like that. They kept finding different ways to use the phrase, well, unless you're in business to screw people from front to back, then you don't have anything to worry about, which indicates to me that there is just like a massive ass-covering job happening in advance, or it's one of those things that, like, Joseph Smith used to do in the early days of the Mormon Church, where he would be talking about revelations given to him by God, and they would be phrased in a way that was very clearly meant to like, speak directly to his wife. Where, I mean, there is, in fact, one revelation, and I do have a point here where I'm tying the two things together. There was one revelation given to Joseph Smith. It was, I think, revelation number 67, that actually just referenced his wife by name and said, essentially, like, unless you obey your husband, I'm just going to send you to a place of eternal torment when you die, and you will be punished forever and ever. Emma Smith? And it actually just says Emma Smith, like, flat out in the revelation. And... so that's the feeling that I sort of got when I was watching Obama talk about this, as though there was some guy that had screwed him on a muffler job a while back. You know what I mean? Or like he'd gone in to get his brakes done, and the guy had not been straight up with him, and so there was going to be hell to pay for
well,
that.
Well, play that sound again. Play what he just said.
This is Corners.
Unless your business model depends on cutting corners or bilking your customers... you've got nothing to fear from reform.
I say to Fred Jankowicz, who charged me double what he said the estimate was going to be for to fix my television.
Well, it sounds exactly like the Republicans used to say, were saying Homeland Security came into effect.
Unless it's you're a terrorist.
Yeah, if you're not up to anything, you shouldn't have any problem with having to carry identity papers at all times to the hand to the SS.
It's a glory... Wow. Okay. Somebody got wind of this show early on. It's a glorious time to be alive, Don Taylor. Think of all the happenings we have to cover here that you know we were not privy to even 3 or 4 years ago. It really is an exciting morning in America.
Well, not since the days of the Great Depression has America seen such a major overhaul of its financial system. President Obama today signed this Wall Street reform bill into law. And he also says this is a great day for American taxpayers.
Is this never?
Yes.
Because of this law, the American people will never again be asked to foot the bill for Wall Street's mistakes.
Really?
There will be no
never again.
Never.
Bailouts, period.
Why don't I believe him?
Why don't these sound bites come equipped with a rim shot? That's what I want to know. They ought to just...
Why don't I believe the handsome man?
Okay. Yeah, there we go. That's fantastic. I mean, the bad news is, you know, of course, he's swindling us, that he himself is, in fact, just cutting corners and bilking his customers. You know, the good news is that it's job security for you and I, Don.
That's right.
In as much as that sort of thing can ever be attained. All right. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. What is... Is the computer insulting your relatives or something? You're
okay,
looking
no,
at it as
this,
though it's
we,
your sworn
there,
enemy.
There is this thing for the chat box, Meebo,
yeah.
Which the chat box is. And I have it open. And then Meebo pulls up this huge ad for itself in the middle of the page to tell me that I should download some other thing to preview message in a taskbar, blah, blah, blah. And it's covering up the actual messages that I am there to be looking at. And there's no little X to make it go away. There's only a thing that says download. Like, of course you're going to want this. You're not going to want to make this go away so you can use this for what it's actually intended for. So I'm sitting here just, I'm trying to do my job, but I have people saying things to me, and I can't see what they're saying because Meebo itself is covering up its own thing with an ad for itself. And it made me angry.
Well, it doesn't show. You've masked it well. You're an oak. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Don't forget that it'll be archived later on today on the internet, which is here to help you and make your life easier in every way. I can see you jabbing angrily at it with your fingers over there. I'm going to get you a steel-reinforced keyboard. By the way, you can also find archives of this program at legionofnews.com, and you can get it on your mobile device at mobile.pdx.fm, mobile.pdx.fm. Once again, at the Legion of News news desk, executing everything she does flawlessly with the utmost calm, it's Dawn Taylor.
Police were asking for public help Tuesday to find a man on a bicycle grabbing the buttocks of women in the area of the Nike campus. Four women have filed complaints with police in the last month, said Washington County Sheriff Spokesman Sergeant David Thompson. We're worried about not only what he's done and what he's doing.
What he might do.
But what he could do in the future as well. On June 10th, around 11 p.m., Nike security told police that a woman was grabbed as she jogged around the campus. On July 12th, at about 3:15 p.m. at Walton Street and Meadow Drive, a woman pushing a stroller down the street said she was hit on the buttocks. On July 13th, around 9 a.m., a woman pushing a stroller around the Nike campus said a man grabbed her buttocks. Two different women, two different strollers, different buttocks. On the same day, a woman jogging on a trail around the Nike campus said she was grabbed on the buttocks.
I don't understand. Are they being grabbed by Scott Baio and zapped? The campus is a big place, but by definition, if it's a big, wide-open area there, I don't mean the buttocks, I mean the campus, it's not like the guy can just apparate and just vanish back to Hogwarts or something.
No, he was on a bicycle, and apparently he bicycles towards them and then grabs them and then keeps going. And I guess there's enough people on bicycles around the Nike campus that you're not going to see someone on a bicycle coming towards you and go, it's a butt grabber.
Right. Okay, so that was my question, actually, because is he grabbing their buttocks is this like one of those things where when the train goes by the mailbag and it just grabs the mail off the hook, but it doesn't bother to slow down or something? Because it seems like that's the kind of thing that would throw your equilibrium. Your center of gravity would be altered sufficient that, you know, that you might actually just spill off the bicycle. I mean, unless you were really an accomplished athlete, unless you were the Steve Prefontaine of ass grabbers.
Well, I'm imagining this must be sort of a glancing grab, because it couldn't be a lingering grab
in any way.
Really, yeah. The one woman said she was hit, so he might have just smacked her on the butt as he was going by.
All right. But, I mean, I know that this is the sort of thing about which I should be really upset, but I just don't have it in me. I mean, you know, you shouldn't brush the buttocks of people who don't want their buttocks brushed. But, you know, look, it's not like in Japan, where I think every time you go on a subway, you're just taking your life in your hands because somebody's taking your ass in his hands.
Yes.
And then it all just turns ugly. And meanwhile, there's a guy outside with basically a huge broom hander, comb plunger, that is like shoving you into the train like so much meat into a sausage casing.
Yeah, they actually have separate ladies-only train cars on some of the subway trains in Japan.
Groping is such a problem.
Yeah, and men poking up against you with their parts.
I have a friend of mine who lived in Japan for some time, and she said that it was just... She said that people sort of warned her about that. You know, women in Japan, they said, now, you know, when you get on the train, you're probably going to feel some strange hands grabbing at delicate areas of your body. And she didn't really, you know, she sort of heard it, but she didn't really process it until she got on the subway. And she, doors hadn't been closed like 35 seconds. And immediately it was just, I mean, she said, she kept waiting for like a speculum to come out of somewhere. and meanwhile, of course, as, you know, the groping is beginning, you know, the train is going and it's stopping at every station. And literally the trains there are so packed, at least this is in Tokyo, but at least at this time, which I guess would have been the mid-90s, the trains are so full that they literally hire guys who have these huge, they look like big push brooms, big sticks that then are broad at the end, like a huge T-square, that they just lean on from the outside on the train platform to shove everyone into the train, and then they retract it at the last possible moment so the doors can close. I mean, you literally are just jammed in there by guys outside holding sort of big wooden sticks. So you can see how that might lead to uncomfortable situations.
Have you ever been on, like, the bus or the MAX train or something and wanted to just, like, touch the person in front of you just to see what would happen? Not in a gropey sexual way, but just, you know. You've never done that?
No, I have not.
The last time I was on a bus or the train or something, I was sitting there and I was really bored, and there was this woman sitting in front of me, and her head was just right there, like 6 inches away from me. And I started thinking about, like, I could just reach forward and just with my hands and just grab her head.
Why don't I massage her ever so gently and see what happens?
And then I started thinking about what would happen if I did. She would probably shriek, and then they'd probably stop the bus and kick me off, and it would be a huge big deal. And then you have that moment where you just think, all I would have to do to make all of that chaos happen will be just reach forward and touch her head.
Is this like how I think every time I go across the Ross Island Bridge, I think of it, all I would have to do is just jerk the wheel a little bit to the left, and I could destroy myself and whoever's in the oncoming lane.
A Christopher Walken driving moment.
It's exactly it. Is it an Annie Hall where he says
yes.
That? And here's the thing is, I had that thought for years, and then I saw Annie Hall, and it was sort of creepy and relieving to realize it was not just me. Because I, for the longest time when I've driven, and it's specifically the Ross Island Bridge for some reason, I think every single time that I'm driving home, I think, you know, any one of these people driving by me might just be considering ending it all, like, right now. And they're going to choose this moment to come into my lane, and then it's just going to be, you know, bedtime for Bonzo. And, but it's sort of comforting to know that everyone is walking around just moments away from a mental collapse or from a big grope fest of some kind. You could get away with it, though. You know, see, you're a guy, they just take you outside and beat you senseless. Because no matter who you grab on a MAX, they'll find a child who is somewhere within, like, 500 yards of you, and they will say, and he could have grabbed a child. And then it'll just be a pummeling that you'll get like nobody's business. So, but if you do decide to start groping people on the MAX, you let me know.
Oh,
so I can be, because I want to be there to watch. Here's Dawn Taylor, kids.
A 19-year-old Gresham man was taken into custody on suspicion he used an axe to vandalize bank ATMs. Gresham Sergeant Rick Wilson said police responded to a report of a teenager damaging an ATM with an axe at a U.S. bank on East Powell Boulevard at about 4 a.m. Tuesday. Police said they found two vandalized ATMs, including the U.S. Bank and another block away at a Bank of America. Officers located a teenager matching the suspect description. He was later identified as Chance Wickham, according to Gresham police.
Chance Wickham doesn't sound like a guy who ought to be damaging ATMs in Gresham with an axe. Sounds like he ought to be rowing crew and getting ready to join Scroll and Key.
Wilson said the suspect told police he found the axe near a trash container at a nearby bar.
That I believe.
He also told officers he's been under a lot of stress and made a mistake by vandalizing the ATMs.
Well, who can disagree with either of those statements, really? I mean, it's
Right. Officer said he then directed them to the bushes near the U.S. Bank where he hid the axe.
It must be so difficult and yet so easy to be a cop in Gresham or Florida, because you never get a moment's rest, but that's just because you're arresting guys who have, like, you know, who've, like, severed their mother's head and then just left it on the windowsill at home, you know, while they went to the store.
I was under a lot of stress.
But then I had to go get some Funyuns, so I didn't really have time to throw it away or nothing. It's still there if you want to go look for it. All right, thanks, Bob. All right, you are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Don't forget, the Rick Emerson Show comes up today at 1 o'clock. Joining us will be, from Willamette Week, Ms. Kelly Clark. Well, also today's Pop Culture Authority, which you're not really imagining this is yesterday's Pop Culture Authority that was not gotten to. We'll answer the magical question, from where does the name Cujo derive? Where does the name Cujo come from? And we'll do today's top five. The top five songs I always seem to hear playing in a Winco. Here's Dawn Taylor.
A Corvallis woman tried to hire two people on Craigslist to kidnap her... having trouble with words today, Mr. Emerson.
Maybe you should just do everything via the text box.
Wait.
No, I guess not.
I fixed that problem,
all
by
right.
the way.
But, okay.
Let's take this one from the top,
all
shall
right,
we?
All right, then.
A Corvallis woman tried to hire two people on Craigslist to kidnap her estranged husband. Mari Teresa Veronica, who also goes by Tess, tried to solicit help from two people on two different occasions through Craigslist, asking them to break into her estranged husband's South Corvallis home, burglarize it, and then kidnap him. One of the people she solicited contacted police, and then officers also tracked down the second person while investigating Price. Price was arrested and lodged in the Benton County Correctional Facility on $250,000 bail. She'll face several charges, including soliciting a burglary, soliciting a kidnapping, soliciting an assault, and soliciting menacing.
Is she, there's a mugshot. Is she hot?
Oh, no. No.
Well, she's bruised.
Yeah.
Not that that, anyway.
Yeah. She got a black eye somewhere.
Wait a minute. Benton County, though. So is Benton, is Corvallis in Benton County?
I guess so.
It must be, because Benton County, I believe, is the county that contains Kennewick, Washington. So I think if she was like trying to drag him back, to her lair in one of the Tri-Cities. So yeah, somebody gave her what for with a fist, I would think. She got this is a huge bruise in her eye. So my question is, where was she? It says here tried to solicit help from two people on Craigslist. One of the people she solicited contacted the police. So my question is, how did the contact initially happen? Did some guy put up an ad, like, willing to do work around the house or, you know, willing to do yard work or other odds and ends, and she thought, kidnapping, burglary? Or did she put up an ad saying, have one-time job, we'll pay cash?
Yeah.
And then a guy went, what do you want? She goes, well, I need you to go beat my husband with a tire iron and then drag him back to me in a sack.
I don't know.
Theoretically,
so many
allegedly.
Questions.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. She's got a face like a potato bag. All right. No, nothing good happening there. Here's Dawn Taylor at the Legion of News news desk.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said early Wednesday he will review the case that led to the resignation of Shirley Sherrod, the former Agriculture Department official who resigned after a video clip surfaced of her discussing a white farmer.
I was all unhappy with this story. This story has gone through layers of irritation with me. First, because, you know, it seemed like she was a reprehensible person. And then I was sort of, then I was kind of bummed out when it turned out she wasn't. Just because I like to believe that the news exists solely to give us content. And then when it turns out that something is just a big, really honestly a big misunderstanding, because everybody always says that, I was taken out of context. And that's never true. Whenever somebody says they were taken out of context, that's always a lie. And then it turns out that I think it might have actually been the case with her, which, is just, it just deprives us of extra sizzle for our steak.
Well, CNN senior political analyst David Gergen...
I love David Gergen.
...says that this story shows us all that is wrong with politics today.
And the name of this
hearing is
Hearing.
Give this woman a fair...
Oh, I gotta turn off the teletype because it's Gergen.
Give this woman a fair hearing, and if the facts are as they seem, reinstate her with an apology. Indeed, I think she deserved a whole lot more than an apology. I think she deserves some honor for her attempts to bring people together.
Here's the thing about David Gergen. He's got one of those voices that could be irritating because it's sort of adenoidal and it's kind of in the back of his throat. It sounds like he's gargling marbles or something. But instead, it comes off as strangely soothing. And I forget who said there was some like a political blogger, blogette that I read, and she said that You know, you can get those alarm clocks that will sort of lull you to sleep at night with the sound of like a babbling stream or like a, you know, like a Niagara Falls or something. She said that she just wanted an alarm clock that just lulled her off into her dreams every evening with the recorded sound of David Gergen discussing sound fiscal policy. And I totally see what she's talking about there. All right.
So the clip you have titled Speech, is
yes.
this the clip of her saying what got her into hot water?
I don't know. Let's find out. Is that what it says it is?
Well, it says this is a clip from Sherrod's NAACP speech
yeah.
from March 27.
Yeah, so this is, I believe, the out-of-context portion.
Okay.
Let's see if I can...
We have to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's sad that we don't have a room full of white and blacks here tonight. Because we have to overcome the divisions that we have.
So that's actually, I guess that's actually the exonerative portion. But the portion of the speech that they were playing over and over and over again is where she talked
said something about not just black people, but poor people too, or something. Is that what we're talking about?
Initially, she was talking about something that had happened in like 1983. And the deal is that some farm guy who subsequently they found and who said that that she was kind of being shafted. It came to her for help. She was relating this story about how this guy came to her for help with his farm. And she said, well, initially, I didn't want to help him because he was, you know, he seemed like an entitled white person. She said, I did the bare minimum, I think was the phrase she used. She said, I did just enough to keep him above water. But then she said that she felt bad about it later because she realized that, you know, we're all brothers under the skin and so forth. And that it wasn't about black versus white. It was about rich versus poor in terms of needing help and whatever, which is true. But on the other hand, it's like God dangles an exciting news story in front of us and then he cruelly snatches it away without regard to our need to entertain people with the ongoing chronicle of the destruction and implosion of our society.
You know, I've done the bare minimum to help entitled white people myself, and I am an entitled white person.
I do the bare minimum.
So I don't see what's racist about that at all.
I do the bare minimum for everyone. For everyone, everywhere. It's just, I don't draw any divisions.
Well, Gergen says she should never have resigned in the first place.
And this has ripped away the veil and shown us all that is wrong with politics today. An ideologue injects poison into the internet. Other people rush to judgment so they can on camera. And an administration gets stampeded and commits this travesty of justice.
Woe to the person who gets on the wrong side of David Gergen, by the way.
Yeah.
I dig that guy. He's the hands down, he was the single best commentator they had, CNN had during the 2008 election. Here's the thing about this. This shows you, by the way, how politics works. That they actually called her on her phone. They called her on her BlackBerry twice. The first time was to say, what's this story about you hating white people, or however it was originally presented. That was like story number one, and she said that it was like 14 minutes later, they called her again, and they told her to pull over to the side of the road and to message her resignation to them. So she's, you know, pulling over on the shoulder on her BlackBerry going, crap, I resign, garbage, you know, and they're just sending the thing off. So literally in the space of like 14 and a half minutes, she went from like, hooray, I have a job, fine, bastards, I quit, signed, you know.
Well, the NAACP has retracted its original statement condemning comments made by Agriculture Department official Shirley Sherrod. The president and CEO of the NAACP, Benjamin Jealous. His name is really Benjamin
it
Jealous?
It is. It's Benjamin Jealous, which is a sort of bad but awesome name at the same time.
Says his organization at first condemned the video clip, but once they saw the whole video, their perspective changed.
This is response.
We looked at it and we said, you know what, there's just no way to condone this. What we didn't realize is that it had been spliced and diced six ways from Sunday so as to completely hide this beautiful story of transformation.
And loath as I am to defend anyone or find the good side of any story or anything anywhere, she really did. It was this story about how she had initially, you know, treated this guy one way, but then she came to this realization about divisions that were real and divisions that weren't real, and it is a kind of a great story about personal rehabilitation and transformation or whatever. And then I think it was Andrew Breitbart, though, was the guy who just said, well, this would be a lot more interesting if it was cut up all differently and presented, and if things were put in a different order and some of them excised entirely and others put in a brand new context, I could make this into a much more interesting videotape. And sure enough, that proved to be the case. That I saw him being John King on CNN. I was just putting the screws to him about this, saying, you know, here's the actual video, and then, like, here's what you were showing on your website. is this a factual error the way that you have presented it? And he did that thing of just not answering the question he was asked, but just answering the question he wanted to have been asked, you know, the question that he wanted to talk about. And it was deeply satisfying just to watch him sort of squirm like an earthworm on a skillet.
Yeah, Breitbart is a huge weasel, just an enormous weasel. And any time he gets caught in his weaselness is a good day.
You know, but the thing about it is, I mean, and I guess this shouldn't surprise me, maybe it doesn't, is that he is, as you put it, a massive weasel. That is the journalistic term for it, by the way. He's a huge throbbing tool. I'm trying to do one of those things where better back it or different in some other era, and maybe that wasn't the case. But it does seem like at one point, you got like two bites at that apple, and then they just said, okay, you know, we're going to quit airing all of your crap on the news as though it's true without checking into it. But I think that time may have been, that time may be in the rearview mirror, actually, where they just went, maybe we ought to verify this before we just put it everywhere. You know, like when Dan Rather got hit so bad for having, you know, this is some like 5-year-old was just writing a bunch of crap at home on PageMaker and printing it out and sending it into the CBS News, and they went, look at George Bush's draft documents. You think that they would have gone, maybe we ought to verify these things before we air them. Nah, let's just plunge on ahead.
I will say, though, as someone who has worked in journalism, a great deal of what one does in the newspaper business operates on faith. It really does, because you go into work in the day, and then you go to the fax machine, you go to your email, and you pull all of these stories, and they come from wire services, but a lot of stuff sometimes come in as in the form of press releases, and a lot of times, if you are a smaller news organization like a community newspaper or whatever, you are trusting that Associated Press or whoever has done the legwork and is telling you the truth. And the truth is, even on the Associated Press level, even they get taken in by a press release that looks legitimate. And the thing is, whenever you make a mistake, and the mistakes happen very rarely, if you think about how much news is disseminated and how rarely considering how many pieces of news go out every single day, how few of these stories come back to bite somebody in the ass. That the thing is, you don't have time. You literally do not have the time to track down the source of every single thing that is presented to you as news that you are now passing on to someone else.
Well, that's a fair point, I guess. And so, I mean, I guess we should just be... I guess it's surprising then that it's not a higher error rate, or we should be impressed that they get it right as often as they do.
I'm impressed that more people don't realize this and exploit it. Because, if you printed up, if you wrote up a press release of any kind that sounded legitimate, if you knew the lingo, if you could write it in such a way and format it correctly and send it to a newspaper, it would be accepted as a legitimate press release.
In no way will the audience abuse this knowledge now.
Once I realized this, I was really, really surprised that more people
don't game the system that way.
Yeah, don't pull pranks or use this to promote their products or just to cause anarchy. Because the thing is, news organizations do accept about 99% of this stuff on faith. So, just for you listeners out there,
I'm not saying anything.
For once,
I'm just gonna keep my thoughts to myself. It would be, I'm not gonna weigh in any further on this. You are listening to Legion of News, by the way, right here at PDX.FM. The program is archived every day at PDX.FM, at LegionofNews.com, and is also available via iTunes. Don't forget, coming up today at 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson Show will have special guest Kelly Clark from Willamette Week talking about the Best of Portland issue that is coming out. And we will also have today's top five songs I always seem to be hearing in Winco. And we'll do the Pop Culture Authority segment for today, where we answer the question, from where does the name Cujo derive? This is Dawn Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
A Portland multimillionaire has pleaded guilty to sexually abusing a neighborhood boy and has agreed to pay his victim $1.6 million and spend about 9 years in prison, according to the Oregonian. Scott Raymond Strickland pleaded guilty Tuesday in Multnomah County Circuit Court to first-degree sexual abuse and a related count. The Oregonian article said that Judge Julie France approved the deal and gave the 56-year-old former doctor and flight attendant about 2 weeks to turn himself in. Strickland has told authorities he's worth about $2.5 million. The $1.6 million penalty will go toward a possible lifetime of counseling for the victim.
So wait a minute, what is it? Well, first of all, when did we start this jive of you get 2 weeks to turn yourself in? If you're some, would you say he, what was the actual nature of the crime? I'm going to be very clear about this before I say it.
It was sexual abuse.
Yeah, so when is it that you get to like diddle little kids and then they say, well, you got half a month or so to turn it. You know, whenever you feel like it, though. You know, earlier, maybe a little bit later. You're running behind.
Idea.
You just call us. So I thought that, see, now for the second time I'm saying, I thought there was a time, but based on my knowledge of, based on my repeated viewings of Perry Mason, which is sort of one of those things that is part of the cultural imperative of living in Portland, Oregon, and or my interview with Doug Llewellyn of the People's Court, I thought that they just imposed sentence like right away.
Yeah.
You know, then when they said like, and yes, you're a child diddler, and now you're going to go into a small cage like forever.
That should be the case, I would think, particularly for the really, I mean, I suppose, you know, letting Lindsay Lohan go home for a week or two before. You know, for probation violations, for not showing up for, you know, her drug classes. That's not such a bad thing. But if you have actually committed a violent offense.
And you got $2 million, which seems like enough money to get you out of the country to somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a hearing earlier this year, Strickland's lawyer said his client worked as a doctor for 18 years in Minnesota. The Oregonian says records from the Minnesota Board of Medical Practice show he was forced to resign in 1999 for inappropriate behavior and for falsifying his specialty credentials to say he was certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine.
It's a good thing the internet has connected all the states so we don't let guys who've been drummed out of one state in the medical field go to work somewhere else.
Well, he did leave the medical field. He then moved to Oregon to work as a flight attendant and instructor for Alaska Airlines. I printed out the story, by the way, from one of our local news sites. I was going to say it was KGW, but I didn't write down. And I go to KGW, and there's a completely different photograph there now. So I'm thinking either I'm wrong about which site it was, but more likely they changed this picture. Because one of the reasons I printed this out in full was to show you the picture that was accompanying this story.
Oh, wow.
Where they went to the files to find some stock photo. And they picked this photo of a little girl cowering in a corner in terror while a shadow of an angry man screams at her.
Well, the silhouette of the Joker appears, on the wall right next to her. This is totally when you're searching, like, you're going through the database and you're putting,
abuse.
Something. you're putting abused or, you know, terrified child asterisks .jpg and just seeing what comes up.
And so I believe I was not the only one who found that ludicrous, because if you go there now, it's just a picture of a gavel.
they went right to the clip art folder.
Seriously, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. That's fantastic. Well, I think those are the same folks that reported at one point that the Ross Island Bridge was going to be closed because of a movie screw that was busy occupying all the oncoming lanes. All right. You are listening to Legion of News. This is Dawn Taylor.
Let's go to science news.
There's one final note, by the way. I mean, first of all, I have to turn this news story face down because this photo is creeping me out. Second of all, I have to tell you this. Someday, when I have enough money and power and influence, to just do whatever I want and have my enemies destroyed, I'm just going to keep a jet idling all the time at an airport. You know, I'm glad the guy is going to go to jail, like, at some point, apparently, like in the next week or two, whenever he feels up to go into county. But I'm just saying, you know, this and the Lindsay Lohan thing, people never think this through. It's like OJ, the same thing, where he's just, I don't know, I'll just get in the car and I'll drive real slow for a long time. We'll figure it out. I'll get this. Come on. Hold on. Let me affix this mustache. Do you have any spirit gum? Nobody ever sort of, especially if you're going to allegedly decapitate your wife and her useless tennis pro boyfriend. It's like, why would you not think through to step B, at least? Maybe not to Q or to Z, but, you know, maybe to, like, what do I do after that? But I am just going to have a plane just on standby, like, in every city where I go, just constantly, just idling at the airport in case I off a guy and I just have to get out of the country, like, right away. I mean, that's what money is for, right?
Do you foresee that happening?
Which part?
Just being in a situation where you have to off a guy?
I am in that situation constantly. It's not that I foresee that. I am in that.
I think have to off a guy and want to off a guy are two separate things.
Okay, no, that's a fair point. And what I have not yet achieved is the stage of am able to without recrimination or punishment. So that's really, that's why I get up and go to work every day. That's the carrot on the stick for me. Here's Dawn Taylor.
This is your science news.
Here's Science on the March for Wednesday right here on Legion of News.
A huge ball of brightly burning gas drifting through a neighboring galaxy may be the heaviest star ever discovered. Hundreds of times more massive than the sun, according to scientists. Those behind the find say that the star, called R16AL...
Or... Never mind. You know, I was going to make the lamest joke.
Go ahead.
All right, do that whole line. Here's, if I were a hack DJ, mm-hmm. here's how I would... Let's just do that star. We'll do that. I'm going to turn all this off. We're going to do that story again from the top. And you can tell, this is how you can tell, by the way, that, and I'm not just talking about the KUFO thing, how for many years ago, that I was, in fact, a lame morning show host and a DJ through a variety of formats. Because once you develop that, it's like a muscle memory thing where you just can't turn off that section of your brain sometimes. It's like how I can, you know, it's like songs I have only heard once or twice. I could, you know, I'll just hit the post on them when we're, you know, we're using them on the show or something, just out of habit. This is part of your brain you can never really deactivate once you've learned the skill. It's like riding the most useless bicycle ever created. All right, let me just... all right. Just do that story from the top.
A huge ball of brightly burning gas drifting through a neighboring galaxy may be the heaviest star ever discovered, hundreds of times more massive than the sun, according to scientists. Those behind the find say the star, called R136AL...
Or Monique to her friends.
Wow, we started over for that.
Yeah, I know. See, it's not very good. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's
you
know.
I thought you were going to make like a Kirstie Alley joke or something.
No.
Okay.
No, I was trying to be a tender be contemporary.
May once have weighed as much as 320 solar masses. Astrophysicist Paul Crowther said the star, twice as heavy as any previously discovered, has already slimmed down considerably over its lifetime. In fact, it's burning itself off with such intensity that it shines at nearly 10 million times the luminosity of the sun. Unlike humans, these stars are born heavy and lose weight as they age.
See,
said
it's
Crowther.
Like this is like a target-rich environment here, but I'm not going to stoop to that level again.
Crowther's an astrophysicist at the University of Sheffield in northern England. Crowther said the giant was identified at the center of a star cluster in the Tarantula Nebula, a sprawling cloud of gas and dust in the Large Magellanic Cloud, a galaxy about 165,000 light-years away from our own Milky Way. The star was the most massive of several giants identified by Crowther and his team in an article in the Monthly Notices of the Royal Astronomical Society.
I don't understand this. I go to that Google Earth thing, and I just the Google Maps thing, and it's like I can't even get a clear shot of my own neighborhood sometimes. I look, and it's just all pixelated and grainy. How is it that they're able to take a photograph of a thing that is in a galaxy that is actually removed from the Milky Way?
Well, it's kind of what they do. I mean, it's, you know, they specialize in that. They have very super fancy... neutron telescopes.
Do they
such.
Have one of those things? It's like every time there's like a security video from a bank robbery, it's all grainy and it's all blotchy and you can't see anything. And meanwhile, they're photographing something that's like a skillion miles away. It's like that, they have one of those, they must have, all of the Magellanic Society or whatever the hell it is, they must have just one of those cameras that they seem to only have on, Alias. Where they say, hold on, let me enhance. And then the pixels vanish, and it's just like crystal clear.
Yeah.
So that must be a thing that like only J.J. Abrams and astrophysicists have access to then. All right.
Exactly.
Hey, let me ask you this. Have you gone to the Google Street View hoping to see a picture of yourself leaving your house?
No. I have gone to the Google Street View just to look at my house and things like that. There's a website, I can't remember what it is right now, but there's a website where someone has collected a number of photos that have showed up on Google Street Views of people in odd outfits and suits.
One of a guy in a bunny outfit humping a mailbox.
Yeah.
Like one of those big, the big blue on the corner mailboxes. And he was like in a bunny suit and he's just kind of grinding up against it, like for no reason. And you look at that and you think, okay, well this doesn't, you know, this doesn't really ring out of something that was done for the benefit of Google, you know, Google Street View, because he had probably had no idea he was being filmed. He was just doing it. So, like, what is the story behind that?
There are a lot of the weirder pictures that you can find on the web are because actually you can if you want to know, you can find out when the Google Street cameras are going to be coming through your area. And so there have been a lot of people that have set up actual, you know, gags.
Okay.
Specifically because they knew someone was coming through. There's one in particular where it's a length of about 3 or 4 blocks where they got everyone in the neighborhood to do different things. There's a marching band, and there's people like hanging out of windows, and there's people standing by the side in odd costumes.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah.
All right. Excellent. All right, this is Science on the March, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually, that was Science on the March.
That was Science on the March, ladies and gentlemen.
That was our one big science story for the day.
I mean, when I was growing up, there was my mom had these pictures that were hanging in the hallway of our house, and I don't know where she got them. I suspect they were part of like a Time Life book collection or something that she bought, because we always seemed to have those around. But they were pictures of different galaxies, and there was one of the Milky Way, and there was one of the a thing called the it was called, I believe, the Sombrero Galaxy, because it was sort of flattened out, and it was
these
sort of whatever.
These were hanging on the walls in your house?
It was very bizarre. It was in the hallway. I don't know why.
Most people have pictures of their families.
Well, you know, it was hard to get us to all stay in one place, you know, very
long. So she just
long.
Tore pages out of number. Time Life books and stuck them in frames?
I believe that's exactly what happened. But, you know, even as a kid, I would look at these phonographs and I would say, what is this? And she would say, well, that's the Crab Nebula or whatever the hell it was. And I would think to myself, you know, like, they can't take my school photo correctly and I'm only 5 feet away. You know, and yet we've got this, like, crystal, and this is, you know, in the 70s, we get this crystal clear photograph of a thing that is, like, 5 billion miles from us.
Well,
it didn't
the
make
ones
any
in the 70s
sense.
Were mostly faked.
Is that true?
Did you see Capricorn 1?
No, I did not. Yeah. Oh, Capricorn 1 with O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
No,
and James
good
Brolin.
Reference. I've completely blocked that movie out of my memory. Okay, well done. They just got Stanley Kubrick to film it on a soundstage. Anyway, so I remember just looking at these when I was a kid and just thinking to myself, well, this can't possibly be real. How would they? The one that always used to F me up was I would look at the picture of the Milky Way, which, I don't mean to sound like a tool here, but that's where we live, right? We're in the Milky Way.
Yeah.
So I would think to myself, well, how do we have a picture of the Milky Way if that's where we are? And it would just bend my brain in half trying to imagine how that happened.
When I was a kid living in Los Angeles, sometimes they would take us on trips to the Griffith Observatory. The problem being that they always took us on trips during the day. And so basically they would just walk you in and walk you around and show you the telescope. But you never got to actually look in it and see anything because it was the middle of the afternoon.
If stars were visible, this is what you would use to see them, kids. Isn't that exciting? Next.
Yeah, it was one of the most boring field trips ever.
Who wants peanuts? Wait, are you saying that there's something wrong with the fact that we had pictures of celestial bodies hanging on the wall of my home when I was growing up?
I'm just thinking it's kind of strange, but I'm, you know, there's nothing wrong with it.
I mean, I would like to
some
think
people
that it was...
have pictures of cows standing in fields or shipwrecks or people fishing. So, you know, why not the Milky Way?
I was being exposed to a world of knowledge, Don.
I know, actually, it's very...
No, my parents were all about the Time Life books, especially that set for the Western set that seemed like it sort of came in this bad, like, faux leather. You know, your first volume, Cowboys and Indians, will arrive, followed by subsequent volumes every 6 weeks. So we had that one, and we had the Time Life, you know, like, Mysteries of the Great Outdoors or something, which was awesome because it had a whole section on shark attacks. It was almost exactly... kind of think of it like that book that Chief Brody is flipping through in Jaws, where they do that cool shot of the book reflected in his eyeglasses, and he's looking through and he's looking at all the pictures of people who have been attacked by sharks, and there's like a guy with his leg like all chewed up, and when Lorraine Gary like yells at the kids to get out of the boat outside, it was almost exactly that. And when you are a kid, that is the best thing you could ever find, is a book full of pictures of shark attacks. So that's, yeah, a vast amount of my childhood knowledge came from books like that.
When I was born, my mother started subscribing to the National Geographic, and every month she would actually catalog, she'd get little 3x5 cards and catalog all the stories that were in the National Geographic, so that by the time I was like 10, 11 years old, I had like a decade's worth of National Geographic and a card catalog.
Did you ever use the card catalog?
Yeah, when I had to write papers and stuff.
That is awesome. That's fantastic.
Well, and my mother, and it's also another story that shows how crazy my mother was.
Yeah, no, that's nuts. No, I have no doubts about that. It's also lunatic behavior, but it's...
That's the sort of thing that somebody who's taking too many diet pills does, you know, it's just...
Well, that's, you know, that is one of those times where, you know, where you can put psychosis to work for you. Yeah, you know, it's like if you, I always kind of wanted to get this. This sounds like it ought to be like a Curb Your Enthusiasm or something. But I've always thought that it would be beneficial. There ought to be some service that pairs really messy people with OCD people as like roommates.
Yeah,
you know, because then the filthy guy, the Oscar, he can just sort of just sit around and scratch himself, and meanwhile, there's like your roommate cleaning all the blades of grass with a toothbrush. You know, or something. You are listening to Legion of News. Don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson Show will be broadcast at rickemerson.com, where you can listen for the low, low price of just 32 cents a day. Coming up today, Kelly Clark from Willamette Week will do the top five as well, the top five songs I always seem to hear playing at Winco. And we'll have today's pop culture authority. From where does the name Cujo derive? That's all on the way today in the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Dawn Taylor.
Beginning August 1st, plastic bags will no longer be an option at Fred Meyer stores in the Portland metro area. Fred Meyer spokeswoman Melinda Merrill said paper bags will still be available, but they will no longer have plastic bags as of August. She said the 10 stores in the Portland market were a test group as the retailer prepares for the possibility of eliminating plastic bags at all of its stores. Merrill said that once Fred Meyer stores scrap the plastic bags, customers will be urged to email comments and suggestions to Fred Meyer. We're looking for customer feedback because we just need to prepare ourselves and make sure the stores are running efficiently and smoothly.
I understand what they need to test. I mean, I think it's retarded to get rid of plastic bags, but that's just me. It's like, what do they, I mean, do they, but I also know that I am not necessarily representative of the average citizen. Do they anticipate some sort of a backlash?
She says that feedback about the bag ban has been mostly positive so far. I think they want to see just how angry it makes people. They want to see if how many letters they get from people going, I am never shopping at Fred Meyer again because you don't have plastic. I mean,
it would be my...
If they feel like they're going to lose customers from it, they're not going to go through with it.
It would be my guess, and I suspect that I'm going to turn out to be correct on this, that almost no one will notice. Look, if you look at, as long as
people will notice.
Oh, are you kidding? And this guy, as long as he can take his 15 pounds of Pepperidge Farm cookies home with him, he doesn't care what they're in. Seriously, is this my macaroni helper, right? Yes, it is, sir. Okay.
When was the last time you tried to carry, say, $50, $60 worth of groceries into your home using paper bags?
Well, that's woman's work, Dawn, so I wouldn't know. But I don't know.
Do you remember those long ago days when you had to like make four or five trips back and forth to the car to carry the groceries for your mom because only so much stuff will fit in a paper bag?
Well, and I guess there is something to be said that there's the sort of paper handle that is like glued onto the bag that then always rips.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. So the thing is, you know, obviously the solution to that is bring your own bags. You know, bring your own tote bags of sorts.
Yeah, but then you got to lug those things around in the store with you. I mean, and that's a big pain, especially if you're not buying a whole lot of stuff. Like, it's one thing if you got the cart, and you can you bring the bags in, bam, you stick them in the cart, you cart them around with you, and at the end they put them in your bag and you take them home, whatever. You know, but if you're going to be buying, like, let's say, a bag full of stuff or whatever, you know, enough stuff that you don't, necessarily need, a cart. Then you got to be like carrying the bag around with you, which isn't a huge deal. But then if you also got like, let's say, a kid, or you're trying to like, or if you get one of those things, my mom always had like the weird clicky thing that so you could estimate the cost of whatever all your crap was going to be. You know, when you got to the register, it just seems like a colossal pain. All right,
and that's the thing is that I personally have no problem with a plastic bag ban. But yeah, they are going to get so many complaints.
It doesn't make any sense though, because don't we recycle those things first of all? Isn't that the thing? Like, we get plastic bags go off to some place and they get cleaned off and then they get melted and then they get turned into more plastic.
No, most of them just get jammed into the trash because that's what people do.
Well, all right.
And like, I don't recycle the bags. Save that I use almost all of my plastic bags for picking up dog poop. And I don't recycle those. That goes into the dumpster.
Well, that's a fair point, because I don't either. Because, I'll go to the store. They give me the plastic bag. That's the real damnable misery here, is that I'm going to have to find something else to pick up dog leavings with. because I go to the the Safeway or whatever. They go, here you are. I say thank you. I go home, bada bing, and then the bag goes into a special drawer next to the leash.
Right.
And then I go clean up after the dog with it. I don't mean to sound willfully obtuse here, because I know we discussed this the other day with the plastic bag thing. Is the actual deal breaker issue here this allegation that somehow it ends up in my water?
I don't know if that's the deal breaker, but it is part of it.
I mean, if we were to find the sole reason why, because I know that this, I say this and this does, people don't understand. They don't understand why I don't understand, and that's fine. But if the problem is just that they're going into a hole in the ground, so what? I mean, you know, it's one thing if they're by the side of the road and they're an eyesore and whatever. I mean, I guess I can almost see that. But if they're just in a hole in the ground, who cares? I mean, it doesn't affect. If you have some actual demonstrable thing that you put in the ground and then it's turning up coming out of my faucet and then I'm going to ingest it. I mean, there's something to be said there. But if it's just the idea that we don't like it going in with a hole in the ground, that's just dumb.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, the landfill situation, we say landfill and it sounds like, you and I remember childhood days when there was a local landfill and all the garbage would go there. Then they pack it down and then build something on top of it. But we've reached a point internationally, we've reached a point globally where there are huge barges of garbage that are being shipped out into the waters places. There are islands that are nothing but garbage in the middle of the ocean. I mean, we don't have enough places to put all the garbage we produce. And plastic bags are part of that. And also, they are made from petrochemicals. And so it's another petrochemical process. It's more oil that is being used as well. There are a lot of reasons not to use them.
I'm going to recuse myself from the rest of this conversation.
Okay.
Except this is a good opportunity, speaking of trash and filth and all things that are refuse-oriented, to talk about The Cleaning Solution, who are one of our fine sponsors here at Legion of News. And Cleaning Solution is locally owned and operated. It's run by a guy named Michael. Michael Beatty is his name. And you can reach him. I'll give you this number again at the end. But it's 971-533-3211, 971-533-3211. And by the way, and speaking of the dog situation, see, the whole thing that God bless my wife, because she's way more motivated than I am, and all without the aid of too many diet pills, as you said, because we have this whole area in our front yard that was not originally fenced off. It was just open to the street, and so we'd have to take the dogs out, and you put them on a leash, and then it's and if it's it's raining or it's 30 below, you got to get all your clothes on and walk them across the street, and then those are always the times when the dogs just seem like they want to stand there for 5 hours before doing what they need to do. But so recently, though, the area in front of our house has been fenced off. So now I can just stand in the doorway in my alligator boxer shorts and just release the hounds into the sort of fenced off place. They can go out, do what they need to do. They come back in. That's all well and good. And then, on the weekend, there's the big cleanup, that happens so that there isn't filth and foulness out there in the garden. But then, every now and again, though, because you're not really able to keep an eye on them, it's they will find the deepest mud bog that they can possibly look. It's like they're almost trying to find things, just to squish themselves down into. I won't be able to keep an eye on them, and I won't notice it until they come back in the house, and then it's just muddy paw prints, down it. And it's not like I get all in a twist about dogs bringing stuff into the house. But I never really notice it until it's dried sufficiently that cannot be taken out with a rag. It's a huge pain. Anyway, so if you got this problem, anything like this, you got some stain on your carpet, and you've been putting, have you ever done this, where you get the stain on your rug, and then you've got the smaller area rug that you purchase just to cover the stain? I'm sure you don't, because you're probably a clean person. I myself am not. I'm a person, I am just soiled in body and soul and rug. So if that is a problem for you, though, you want to contact The Cleaning Solution. His name is Michael Beatty at 971-533-3211. They do stain removal. They take out pet damage or pet odor of a rug or of upholstery. If you got marble or if you got tile that's been stained with something or gets down on the little grout there between the tiles, they take care of all that. They do residential stuff and commercial stuff. You can find out more by calling them at 971-533-3211. 3211, The Cleaning Solution. Here is Dawn Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
Well, let's do some quick Lindsay Lohan-based entertainment news.
Here is your entertainment news for Wednesday.
Actress Lindsay Lohan showed little emotion as she was put in handcuffs yesterday morning to go to jail to begin what is expected to be a mere 2-week stay. Correspondent Chris Jacobs with The Insider says Lohan is going to have to make do with a few things without a few things she likes.
She won't be allowed any cigarettes, and any smoker out there knows trying to make it 2 weeks without a puff is pretty hard to do. Secondly, no makeup. For someone like Lindsay Lohan, that might be tough to do as well. Also, there won't be any hair extensions, accessories, things like that. And she will be wearing that orange jumpsuit that we saw in her mugshot for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a hard knock life, isn't it, kids?
It's like Gitmo. The attorney for Lindsay's father, Michael, Lisa Bloom, told Larry King Live that this has been a very tough time for her client.
What is the name of this cut? I'm sorry.
Client.
I'm sorry.
I think the rest of the world looks at Lindsay Lohan as almost an icon, a cartoonish character. We see her in all the tabloids and all the shows. But to Michael, this is his daughter. And I have a daughter. I know you have children, Larry. If you can imagine your child being taken off to jail and how devastating that is, that's what Michael has been going through.
Fortunately, he has bags and bags of cocaine with which to comfort himself. Did. I'm sure he's clean and sober.
Apparently, watching her go in and out of rehab and get in and out of cars without underwear and date skanky multimillionaire scumbags, none of that was really, that bad. But none of that prepared him for her going to jail. Loathsome people.
You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Don't forget, this fine program will be archived later on today at PDX.FM. Also at LegionofNews.com and will be available on iTunes as well. This is Dawn Taylor.
Arnold Schwarzenegger on Tuesday appointed actress Gina Davis to a California commission established to promote women's equality. Schwarzenegger named the 54-year-old actress to the Commission on the Status of Women. The nonpartisan panel advocates for women and girls in areas such as education and access to health care. Davis, a Democrat, has worked off-screen to reduce gender stereotyping. She's the founder of the Gina Davis Institute on Gender in the Media and is a partner with United Nations Development Fund for Women.
I just love the idea that there's a Gina Davis Institute. I think it would be really great if they actually did, like, cure cancer or something, though.
Yeah.
I mean, just because I would like for everyone to have to refer to, and, and they've announced today a complete and total cure for AIDS, and in fact, a vaccination against all known variations of the HIV virus. The Gina Davis Institute did that. That would, the only thing better than that would be like if it was the Andy Dick Institute.
Yes.
All right.
I am delighted to join the governor and this commission, Davis said in a statement.
I am also a huge praying mantis.
This appointment affords an important opportunity to improve the lives and well-being of girls and women throughout California.
Wasn't she the one that was in that the Mrs. President show?
Yes.
The hell, was it just called Mrs. President?
No, it was not called Mrs. President. I can't remember what it was called.
You said that with a little bit of contempt, as though I should have known better.
I believe that, no, it was it was not called Mrs. President.
Well, you don't know what it was called. You can't say that definitively. You don't know the name.
It was like Mrs. Columbo.
It was, it wasn't like she's the president or something, or...
There are dames in the White House.
We elected a skirt. Thursdays on NBC.
Tomatoes in the Oval Office.
Let's do one more.
Oregon State Police say a trooper in the Medford area who stopped a northbound pickup truck on Interstate 5 for speeding found more than 100 pounds of marijuana in the back seat. Sergeant Tanya Henderson says the value of the marijuana seized early Tuesday is more than $250,000. I always have problems with the math that they do.
I was going to ask how weed could possibly... It seems like you could have a hectare of weed that wouldn't be worth that much money because it's like dirt cheap.
I mean, math is hard, but that means it's like worth $250 a pound. I don't know. Anyway, the truck's occupants, a 25-year-old Tacoma, Washington man and a 23-year-old Brentwood, California man, were arrested for investigation of unlawful possession, distribution, and manufacture of a controlled substance. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office jail website indicates that there are immigration holds on both men.
There we go.
100 pounds of marijuana.
And that concludes another exciting installment of Legion of News. Don't forget, the Rick Emerson Show is next, featuring Kelly Clark from Willamette Week. We will count down the top five songs that always seem to be playing when I'm at Winco. We'll also have today's Pop Culture Authority. Today's Pop Culture Authority answers the question, from where does the name Cujo derive? That's on the way. Legion of News is brought to you each and every weekday by PDX.fm and originates from the studios of the Emerson News Network. At the news desk is Dawn Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill. Executive producer Bruce Agler, and our chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show begins next at rickemerson.com. This has been another exciting installment of
Legion of News on PDX.fm.